Good, good. Yeah, I'm in the Midwest. I'm in the what, Central Time now? I'm in Nashville.
All right, well, that's good. We're just chatting away here, and I've got you on my screen and I'm on the phone. Well,
Okay.
we don't have cameras in our office, so.
Well, that's fine. That's good. So what's on your mind this wonderful August day?
Dwayne, why don't you start?
Well, let's do a roll call. Sean, are you on? Lori?
I'm on.
Patty?
Yep.
Okay, so we're lacking just Lori. And Jeanette's on. So
Thanks.
the homework was for us to each go through our various roles and provide an update on where we are. So why don't we just jump right into that on the planning side? So since I wasn't on last week, I don't want to default to too much about working at home and the difficulties because, in truth, the one thing you said in today's video message, which is what causes Supernova to fail, is basically stop doing it. And I was a little discouraged, in truth, that we had to walk away from our folders as abruptly as we did, because that was a system that Jeanette and I specifically had worked out pretty nicely. But recently, I don't know exactly when she did it, she pushed all of the scheduled meetings to our calendar. So I had visibility out to the end of the year, as does Patty, as to who we were supposed to be in touch with. So that's a very, very nice reminder of the progress and the momentum we had developed, and it's pretty nice to get it recaptured. But on the planning side, from a life view perspective, which is where I spend the bulk of my time, every time I have a client on the phone, we're going through that updating process. And with Sean's help, we've been monitoring those or doing the life view progress towards goal update. There is some development on the GPS that has made that a little bit more useful for the bulk of our business. But Sean, you want to jump in and just update on the GPS side and where we are as far as everybody having a plan?
Yep. So last year I went in and everybody who didn't have a Life View, I went in and we built a GPS for them. And I think between all of us, we went in there and turned them all on for goal monitoring. We adopted all the GPSs. So I think there's only a few maybe that aren't. And that can happen pretty quickly. Now that I'm not allowed to press the specific buttons to do that, if I ever am, a JPN on the account, I'll be able to click all those buttons that the FAs can click, and I can be pretty much on top of that stuff.
So Sean is right now, we're August 10th. Your official switchover is October 1st, Sean?
Correct.
Okay, so in 45 days, he becomes an official member of the 515 Hamilton Group, and therefore he can put aside the rather onerous WAA obligations that have fallen to him to manage the planning side for, several dozen, if not more than that, advisors around the region that we have. So that's going to make things very, very efficient for us. But the thing that I'm trying to figure out is what the process is of integrating and really updating those accounts when Phil makes his final step away and we integrate those from GPS into the Life View plans that are more robust and more consistent with the type of planning we do. That's something that's still uncertain to me, as is the other part you mentioned, Rob, about why a plan doesn't succeed, and that is a failure to segment. And it's not that we haven't done segmentation. I think we have. We just haven't, done a very good job in assigning that segmentation to Sean and to really start to, I think, focus in on the 60 or 80 client accounts that Phil wanted to maintain and Patty and I. So that's something that still is, out there as an important thing that we spent a lot of time and effort to create, but we haven't fully implemented that. As far as the use of the folders is concerned, I've always been under the impression that, we're not particularly encouraged to take things out of the office. So up until recently where I just had to see some things, I've not done any of that. But, you know, we're going to go through a fairly significant change in the internal workings of the business as Phil does his FAP and Sean comes on board, and we either return to the office or we don't return to the office.
Right.
So for at this particular moment, having Jeanette push the meetings, having Patty in office, having Phil in office, and, you know, Sean's always available to us online, on phone, you know, we're reasonably efficient. But I think we still have a lot of work to do on making sure that everybody has not only just a plan and so that we check off that box, but the type of plans that we really build, which are mostly the life view. So that's kind of where we are on the planning side. Patty, you want to talk about the implementation?
Yes, but I had something that I wanted to talk with about on the planning side, and that was, so it's good. Dwayne, I'm gonna have to ask you to show me how to see the things that Jeanette pushed. But then two, I think we need to put on our list coming up with a solution for, I don't think that Jeanette and Phil had gotten that piece together. I'm not sure. And then how to integrate Phil's monthly calls into our list.
Yeah, that's going to be an important thing. In fact, Jeanette, I'm not sure how to do that because for Patty and I think you pushed them to our calendars, but I think for Phil, you had a task list. Did you not?
Yeah, well, Phil, we kind of left it as him doing his own thing because kind of what I was doing was just not working for him because he does the task list all the time through our system. So we kind of just left it alone. So I think what's going to have to happen is Phil's going to have to manually tell you, like, who he sees when, and then I could just add it to your calendars. I'm going to have to do it manually, you know. There's no way to, like, just put it from that system to the other.
Okay. Excuse me, I've got an idea here on this one.
Okay.
On my tasks, they're listed as my tasks, but I can assign them to other people.
Okay.
So what I should begin doing, I'm going to say September 1, is every task going forward from there will then be assigned to me and either Dwayne or Pat, okay? And then we, you know, when I come in the morning, I can speak to one or the other of them and say, hey, I've got this person or I've got that person on my task list today. I'd like for us to call jointly and introduce you, make sure they know you, and let them know what's coming. So I'm thinking beginning September 1, we're going to start letting clients know that there will be a change coming. And as we do that, then whoever's taking it over can push it back to Jeanette or Lori for the time being at least, and then get it organized down the road. Now, I realize, Jeanette, you're not going to be here for September through November. But if Lori can take that on, or if we can just use the task list for my stuff and change the person who gets the task assignment, when Jeanette gets back, you can get it into the calendar at that point. Because, you know, my task list is really very similar to your calendar. It's just I see it online and I don't have to worry about someone telling me because I've told myself. I think that would work. Also, I know we've got a thing between GPS and LifeView, and I realized that going forward, LifeView is where you want to be for prime clients, but do you really want to spend LifeView time for the $200,000 account when GPS will solve the problem?
Right. Yeah.
No, I don't, but I will say, Phil, your idea of pushing a task and tag teaming not only the client so that you can explain what your plans are, but for me, it would allow me an opportunity to kind of hit a new start button and begin the discovery to build the Life View, which would be an idea, a very nice and seamless thing to do. So whether you do that with me or you do it with Patty, that's fantastic. And then on the smaller accounts, I think you're right. You know, Sean tells me that the new GPS platform is significantly more robust than the last. Is that true, Sean?
Yeah, it's made some improvements, and from what I'm told, every year it's going to keep getting a little bit better and better.
I get the impression that eventually they're going to want everybody to do GPS and not LifeView when they make GPS more robust. Just to give you an idea what you'll be facing with me, I have about 224 linked groups, and beginning on September 1 and going through the middle of December is about 65 days. So you do the math, that's 3 or 4 people a day that we would be calling jointly. Okay, I will still continue to call people along the way, but you know, 3 or 4 people a day to alert them to what's coming, and then as you want to take, you know, some of those people and call them again in 2 weeks or 3 weeks and begin working them into your calendar, I think is the best way to do this, unless Rob thinks of a better way or we discuss a better way. But
they're not all unknown to us, are they, Phil? I mean, if I've not met them, Patty's met them.
No, but none of them knows I'm leaving.
Yeah. I like it. I think that's the way to do it.
Okay. So we're not going to tell everybody with an email on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're going to call and say, Mr. Jones wanted to talk to you. I've got Dwayne on the phone. We're going to, you know, talk about your account. And then I have some very important information to relay to you about going forward.
Good. And then maybe scheduling a review with Dwayne or whatever.
Exactly.
First
review, I would still be on the line with them after that.
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't feel I just abandoned them.
Exactly. But, you might even be present at the review. Maybe the review is scheduled for next month or whatever.
Whatever. Exactly. Yeah. But I want to let them know beginning in September, but I want to be on that call with somebody, and I want to be on the next call with somebody.
Good.
And then if they're, you know, a primary client, I'll be on the call till November or December. If they're a butler, we'll let them know that I'll be leaving, and maybe they get one more with me.
Good.
Phil, let me make a suggestion. The only red flag I heard was I'm going to come in the morning and let you know. That would be if we could do that a week in advance.
Oh, yeah. What I meant was when I'm in the morning, I will remind you.
That's better. There you go.
But it's not, surprise. No.
Yeah. Right. Because they're going to have a schedule of clients and you don't want to,
I
mean?
I understand.
Yeah. So you got to coordinate your schedules.
I don't even schedule them like that. I schedule, like this week, I have about 30 to 40 people to contact. And I have them all listed on Monday. And then Monday I start going through the list and I reach who I can. And if I didn't reach them or I didn't get to them, then there's Tuesday. Now, this is a tough week because I'm out Wednesday and Thursday, but I may be working partly Thursday. But this is going forward, we would work so that they would see, because I will take all of my contacts that are listed as my task and then just split them with Pat and Dwayne so they can see who's coming up for the week. And we can say, let's do this one on Monday and this one on Tuesday and so forth. So they will see my task list, which isn't the same as a calendar, but functions almost the same.
Right.
And know what's coming up. And they can say, can we add so-and-so? Because we haven't spoken to them in a while. And those would be the people they're already in touch with, pretty much. And, you know, it's already, we've got some people like, I'm thinking like Richard or, Kim and Greg where, you know, I'm not even involved in some of those calls anymore, except, you know, I call them and you call them and it doesn't bother me in the least, you know?
Yep. Good.
Does that seem to make more sense?
Yeah, as long as everybody can coordinate their calendars. I'm used to appointments. And so bear with me. You know, I understand. As long as Duane and Pat can work with that, you guys are used to each other, and I understand. So
The task list lists people by date, but not by hour.
Right.
Okay? Whereas the calendar can list people by date and hour. And that's fine for specific appointments, but a lot of the people I'm calling, I call them, hi, how are you? Let's talk. What's going on? What are your concerns? And by the way, I want you to know that I've got Pat on the phone with me, and you've met Pat, and we've spoken before. And, you know, I want you to be aware.
Right. Good.
Okay, great. All right, terrific.
So yeah, and Phil has been really faithful about calling clients very regularly, and his system was working, and he knew that he was going to be pulling the trigger fairly soon. So it made more sense to keep him on his current system than to make a change. And now we're going to be feeding it into this, you know, into this calendar. So that'll be good as we work together.
You know, and then it's on your calendar, you would call me and say, hey, I've got Richard next Tuesday at 10,
right,
and I would be on that call, but it would come off of your calendar rather than mine.
Perfect.
Right.
Yep.
Okay,
and then that's the next thing. So Phil had developed the, when we get to implementation, Phil had developed the 24-month calendar. So that is something. What's that?
I've got it right here on my bulletin board.
Good.
If you want to take it, I'll give it to you. So
yep.
You can bring it home.
Sounds good. Then we have the topics for these calls.
Great.
So that works out really well. And then the other item I had under implementation was actually pushing the buttons to make things happen. And that for our group is a stumbling block. It's an inefficiency because we're working on having a team member, like a licensed sales assistant, to actually implement the work that we go out and do. So, I mean, I had a situation once, I had a partnership where I would go out and meet with clients during the day and see people all day long, and then I would bring the materials to the licensed assistant, put it on her desk, and she would open all of the accounts and she would implement the things that were on the happened during the meeting. But we don't have that right now. We're working towards that. So until that time, we're kind of each doing our own implementation. And I think what's going to happen once we have a licensed sales assistant that can do that is the 24-month calendar is likely going to move into the marketing piece, or it's going to get spread around because the implementation is really going to be run by that person, by that, you know, by that sales assistant. Then when we go to service and brand, that is Lori and Jeanette. Lori and Jeanette, what do you have to say about service and brand?
Well, I think we already kind of touched on it. Duane said that I pushed out your clients that were already in the calendar until the end of the year when I can get back from maternity leave. And as far as the folders being used, it's like Duane said, at the time, you guys couldn't really bring anything home because of the COVID situation, but you're working on that now that there's people in the office.
Right. Yeah, and maybe ultimately it'll be something about scanning things to the account or, you know, working it out so that it works all the way around and it's accessible.
Yeah. So that was our section, really. That's it.
That sounds good. And then I was reading the, you know, some of the ways that we define these roles. So reporting on progress and scheduling clients and distributing folders. And then something we had written on our own was reinforcing brand and the way we answer the phone and educate the clients about our team. So we just want to try even now to keep saying the 515 Hamilton group. And then also with this push to get people on Morgan Stanley online to really try to help them get it done. Like when I'm left to try to figure out something by myself on the computer, I'm frustrated a lot, and I'd rather have a person on the phone kind of walking me through. So maybe when we're trying to talk to people about MSO, we can ask them, hey, Do you have a few minutes now? Is your iPad nearby? Can I help you just log in? And I was just talking with Johnny this morning. Actually, now we're going into marketing a little bit. Johnny O'Keefe is a team member that we've added, a Morgan Stanley corporate team member who's doing some of the social media stuff for us, and it's working out pretty nicely. So he's putting out an NBA, like an email to all of our clients that don't have Morgan Stanley online with steps. So that was my fallback. And I thought, hey, why don't we just send people the steps? Like there's this guy, Mr. Smith, that's been calling to tell me that he's frustrated that he can't go online. And then when I say, well, let's do it right now, let me help you, he doesn't have time right now. He's just calling to tell me he's frustrated. So I finally figured out, hey, why don't I just send you the steps? It's like four easy steps. So I sent him the steps. And then I thought, oh, Johnny could send these four steps, you know, through an NBA, and maybe people would enroll. And maybe.
Hey, Rob, have you had any exposure to these virtual engagement associates, these VEA people like we're talking about?
No, but they're great. I love it. You know, we were reluctant as human beings. If we can't have them in the office and we can't see them, we don't want them on our team. And now none of us are in the office and we can't see anybody. So I think we're
right.
much more open to, I mean, just think about how your mind has changed now in terms of
right.
that kind of, you know, what difference does it make if they're in, you know, XYZ.
Yeah, it's not only that, you know, when Jim Pritchard introduced us to this VEA model, you know, we were doing NBA work, but Johnny Keith has taken it to a whole new level as far as the sophistication by which he's culled our list and segmented current clients and prospects, and the way he can customize our messaging and manage our social media. And
wow.
Boy, it's a phenomenal way to leverage that artificial intelligence, which from the client perspective is received as though it's written by Phil, Patty, or me. It's really wonderful. And Johnny's been real good at that. I don't know that I've seen the report lately on the open rate. Sean, what's your open rate been on the work that Johnny's been doing with you?
So it's been in anywhere between 60 to 85% open rates on the things we've been sending.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a guy we've never even seen.
Yeah,
that's spectacular.
Our whole list that we did, he was able to quickly put it into an Excel file of everybody we contacted, uploaded it to LinkedIn, and everybody that had LinkedIn accounts with the associated emails we used to send an MBA, I was able to add all of them as connections on LinkedIn in a matter of 5 seconds, maybe it was 100 people.
Nice.
And one of the other things Johnny has been able to do is take our pros and submit it to Central Review for approval through the mothership and help, you know, kind of tweak the language so that we can get that passed and approved in fairly short order. So that's been a very, very nice addition to our virtual team.
I'm going to step in here for 1 second because I'm looking at the list of roles that we put together originally, and which I sent out last week to everybody. Looking at particularly marketing and leadership, both of which were my responsibilities as number one on, you know, with Pat backing me up or Dwayne backing me up, I think we should bring Johnny in to the team meetings at some point, since he's going to be doing so much of the marketing. And I think Dwayne and I should talk so that he can take over some of the things I've been doing going forward, and decide what you want to do and not do going forward, so that I can be ultimately stepping out of this by October or November and just kind of be, you know, one more employee on the team who, you know, has the ability to answer your questions. But, you know, if you take it over before I'm gone, it's far better than if you take it over the day after I leave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to invite Johnny into our weekly conference calls. That's a real good idea. And then, Phil, offline, you know, maybe you and I can schedule some time to do it like a Skype where we're not doing video, but I'm just on board your computer and
yeah,
you can
fine.
Show me some of the metrics that you're monitoring so I can get caught up on that. That's a very good idea.
Well, I got to admit that some of those metrics have gone by the wayside in the last 3 months.
Right.
But, you know,
and they're going to change and be integrated when Sean joins and but I've got to get up to speed with at least what it is that's being integrated into our business plans for that, that's presented to Keith
exactly.
and that type of stuff.
Okay. So basically what I'm telling you is tomorrow's my last day. Good luck.
I can hear this transition, you know. People are so reluctant to delegate, and then once their mind is made up, then it's like, here you go, guys. You got it all.
And I'm going to tell you a very quick story, and it sounds like politics, but it really isn't. There was a speechwriter who worked for Lyndon Johnson, and Johnson fired him one day, but he still wanted him to write a speech. And so the speechwriter wrote a speech, and Lyndon Johnson was famous for not actually reading it until he got in front of an audience.
Oh, no.
And he looks at the speech, and it says, my fellow Americans, it's wonderful to be here. I have to tell you all the wonderful things we have planned for the future. We're going to cut taxes, raise spending, solve the medical problems, solve the Social Security problems, and improve employment. And you may ask, how are we going to do that? Well, let me tell you. And then it turned
to
and it was blank.
That's great.
That's good. Very nice. That's funny.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
So what, still in the marketing realm, another area that I'm trying to get a handle on is seminars and events, because I was under the impression that once we went green, that would be a possibility, but now I'm not sure. So I'm trying to find out what's happening with seminars and events. So we're probably going to be trying to put a few in there. Like there's an outdoor venue, the Meadows, and we were going to try to have something distant, 6 feet apart with a speaker, you know, sometime in early September before the weather gets ugly, and I'm going to try to put that in and see what happens.
Okay.
So that could be a nice touch.
Problem is that restaurants are down to 25% again from 50.
Right. And
so even a room that would hold 50 people might be down to 8 or 10 clients. And,
right.
You know, at that point, we ought to be really seriously considering setting up Zoom seminars and just say, you know, we're going to do a Zoom seminar for 15 of you on a Tuesday and set it up that way.
Right. We could do a thing like that anytime, actually.
Yep.
Another idea is just like a just like a picnic,
mm-hmm.
you know, inviting people to come to the park where there's unlimited amounts of space and maybe time the arrivals, you know, so that we only have a very few coming at a time.
If we can get compliance approval on that, I'm good for it.
Right? That would be nice.
And the only thing that could happen is I would die.
Don't do it.
Just an idea on the Zoom calls. There's a lot of speculation on what, you know, what would happen if candidate A wins and then what would happen if candidate B wins. And theoretically, if candidate B would win and the Senate would win, whatever your candidate B happens to be, that would mean maybe a difference in the estate tax rate.
Right.
As well as other taxes. But the other taxes are not as big, you know, there's not much you can do about, you know, regular income tax. But estate taxes, if they went to, like, say, from 22 million plus to down to, say, 5 million.
Right.
That you'd think, you know, personally, I think that would be, you know, most people think that'd be pretty horrible. But from a business point of view, high taxes are good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And as hard as
for
that
us,
is.
As financial advisors, there's more planning work to be done. Right.
Correct. Right.
Yeah.
And so one of the things to do is to impress them that you're not just, I mean, a client once told my brother, who happened to be, my brother was in the business for 35 years, told him, your job is to anticipate what it is that I should be doing.
Right.
And so with that in mind, I think a Zoom seminar on, you know, what are your options if in fact we go to, and you could clearly, you know, direct this to people with more than, say, you know, 5 million in assets.
Right. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And another for those people who don't have 5 million in assets, and let's be frank about it, more people have less than more. God love poor people who made so many of them. You know, for the people who have half a million, a million, 2 million, 3 million, we still have a huge estate planning issue that nobody talks about, and that's the state inheritance tax.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And in Pennsylvania, you know, it's 4.5% for direct descendants.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 5% or something for other relatives. It's upwards of 13% to 15% to friends and indirect relatives. Now, doesn't sound like a lot to put 15% on $2 million, and $300,000 just went out the window.
Right.
You know, and they say, oh, I don't have to worry, you know, Senate and Congress and the president got rid of the estate tax, and I'm never going to have $20 million. You don't have to. You have a million or two. I'm dealing right now with my mother-in-law's estate. She didn't have anywhere near that much, but it's still, we got to pay state inheritance tax, which we just wrote a check for. We have to pay the attorney. We have to pay the bills, of course, and then Carolyn's taking her commission. And all of a sudden, you know, the amount drops probably by 20% before we distribute it.
Right.
It's really sad because people, you know, it's not just her, it's her whole family. Everybody has worked generations to create this pot of capital, and there goes 20% of it for nothing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much we could do in some of these situations because she needed the money in case, and she couldn't buy life insurance at 99.
Right.
You know, it's a heck of a thing to talk. I can think of at least half a dozen or a dozen of our clients who are, you know, in their 50s and 60s, who probably have $1 million or more, who might be candidates for more life insurance, permanent life insurance, to cover the estate transition. And, you know, or at least, you know, make sure that they're choosing the right beneficiaries. And by the way, just as a reminder, in Pennsylvania, your IRA is included in your estate.
Right.
That's for a second.
Yeah.
So it gets taxed twice.
That topic, you know, things are so contentious right now with politics in general that the topic of the election is actually a seminar topic that a lot of our partners financial firms whose products we use frequently have those topics available already.
I'm thinking of that report I gave you the other day about the 2020 election from Invesco.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, Invesco and American Funds and some of the others all have material on this, but when you get right down to it, the material doesn't say if this one wins or that one wins. It just says it doesn't matter who wins.
Right, and that's helpful. I think, and so there's seminars out there that we can look at that talk about that, and as part of that, because that makes it easy to get us approved, and then as part of the conversation, because then you have general conversation, that's where the topics about estate planning can
there
come up.
Good.
Yeah. So good. I think that's great. And then last week we were talking about regularly highlighting people's achievements within the group, and just talking about progress and holding each other accountable. And so I had mentioned, but I don't know that Sean and Dwayne were able to join us last week, so I had something to say about each of them, and now they're here. So I just wanted to touch back and congratulate Dwayne on completing his Kingdom Advisor work to continue that certification process, because we're always trying to learn and get new certifications that are, you know, that speak to our clients and our prospects. And then Sean's been doing a really great job prospecting. He's really busy with some exciting stuff. And I had mentioned, you know, how great it is that Jeanette and Lori are, you know, committed to working on the licensing. And I have no idea what they're new. One of the things we're going to talk about, I think, at some of these meetings that we have as a group is what everybody's day looks like, you know, what this new type of working looks like, and whether there's time. Hopefully there's time in there to study, or Phil's great suggestion was to shut everything down and study, you know, toward getting the licensing for a period of time each day.
That's great.
So, yeah, so we want to keep working on that. I really liked that last week.
Now, one of the things that I mentioned and we talked about last week was the top 10 values and purpose, mission, and all that. How did we do on that, and where does that stand?
So I think that was something we did early on. I don't know if somebody is well organized enough to have their notebook handy with their list that we came up with early on. If anybody's got it, it's Phil. But sadly, that's one of the things that fell off during this weird time. So I don't know that we've got something on that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to that, because I, you know, this is the, as we said, we, you know, we're going into our monthly calls. And so we want to kind of do just what you're doing now, which is brilliant, right? Go through the five-star model. But in so doing, we want to also go back and make sure we have a clear vision, purpose, and mission for the team. And the first step was to list our top five values, top 10 values, and then package that into a single sentence purpose statement, and then maybe a larger mission statement, and then a vision of where we want to be 5 years from now. And those things are very important, because the leader's job, one of the critical parts of the leader's job is to remind the team of the vision of why we're doing this, which is your mission and purpose, and then where we're going, which is your vision, and why those two intersect. You know, what we're doing is very important work. Why is it important work? Because we make the lives of our clients better because of who we are and what we do. And where we want to be, we want to be here in 5 years. This is who we want to be, a model for other teams and other people in our industry. And then, how are we going to do that? We work it back from 5 years to 4 years to 3 years to 2 years to 1 year. And so if we don't achieve the goals that we set for the 1 year period, then we won't be where we want to be in 5 years. So 5 years seems like a long time until you're Phil and my age, and all of a sudden 5 years is like a blip. And so this becomes very, very advantageous when you look back at your career. You know, if only we had done this or this, we could have been further ahead. So that's why I emphasize that, particularly at this time when you're looking more at monthly contact rather than weekly contact with the coach.
Right.
I have one quick thing on where I want to be in 5 years. Actually, I want the team to be doubling their production in 4 years so that my income does not drop.
Okay, sounds good.
You know what? That's not a bad goal. That's a very simple goal. And not a bad, you know, of all the things that's important in life, maintaining lifestyle is a big one. So why not? Right, Phil?
There you go.
5 years from now, I'll be lucky if I can walk around the block. But
hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Come on.
No, no. You know, these people know me well enough to understand what I'm saying. Okay.
He's going to take care of himself.
This is not a negative thing. This is, if I can walk around the block in 5 years, considering where I have been, I will not be unhappy. That is not a downgraded goal.
So I had a really good success story that kind of speaks to our mission and vision that we'll have organized next time we talk better. And that is, I just got over the weekend a series of emails, really cute emails, from a client. I should probably forward them to Lori and Jeanette so they can see, because she could be a little demanding at times. But we tried really hard to help this lady, and she had so many obstacles to overcome to achieve her goal, and this weekend she did achieve her big goal. And it was really very nice to see her pictures. I mean, she had so many pictures that she wanted to share that she sent 5 different emails, each with 10 pictures of things like the toilet in her new. But she's so happy. Her goal was, here she was, this 70-year-old woman who was looking to retire and with no family anywhere locally, looking to retire from her job and make her way, you know, divest herself of 50 years of possessions from her house, that each one was precious to her, and make her way to Hawaii where her sister resides with her Hawaiian husband. And it sounded like such a daunting thing for this woman to do, especially once I got to know her and I saw how attached she was to her possessions. And with some work that we did together, and then the financial work as well, but just talking, just having someone to talk to, she was able to do some health things she needed to do, big health things, you know, get her hips fixed, take the time to do that, and then take the time to divest herself of these possessions and not regret the way she did it and what she got from it. And then she took a road trip across the country.
Wow.
And got on an airplane and got to Hawaii to her new little, very modest little place that she's just beside herself, over the moon with. And then she was so excited. She sent a zillion pictures. It's the cutest thing in the world. So anyway, I'm going to send that to Lori and Jeanette so they can see
it. That's so sweet. That is sweet. That just makes you feel so good that you can be a coach. You are her life coach.
Right. There you go. And it all came together, the financial thing. And I know Lori and I especially, I think Lori is the one who had to deal with her a lot, but we're not licensed. I'm really excited that we're not licensed in Hawaii because we were talking about the next step. So I was like, when you get to Hawaii, you're going to visit a Morgan Stanley office and speak to the branch manager and meet somebody who's going to be just right for you.
Pat, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, you know, there's what, a 4, 5, 6 hour time difference?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, she would have to be calling us at like 6 a.m. or something.
Oh, no, she wants to be able to see someone. She agreed. But it's going to be perfect for everybody. And I'm just thrilled that we got her to her goal. And I'm so happy that she's so happy.
You're very nice. All right. So work on the values, purpose, mission, vision. You can just work on one of those. You know, you get a good purpose statement or a good mission statement. You can look on the Supernova Advisor and Supernova Teams. They can help you. I took a course on this. So if you'd like my help on it next time, I'll go in any direction you want to go. But some of us are good at this, and I have done it before, and others don't have a clue. So wherever you are, let me know what I can do to help. Okay.
Great.
Rob, what are you thinking in terms of next month? Today's the 10th. I'm not sure. I think 7th is Labor Day, so maybe the 14th or the 21st.
Phil, you know the advantage I have in my life?
Somebody does it for you.
I don't do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Have somebody contact us and we'll set it up.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Bye-bye.